The following program is a production of the Fairfax Network, Fairfax County Public Schools.
Everyone, my name is Emily Godfrey, and I'm a middle school librarian, and I absolutely love it. Why? Because there are times like today when I can introduce young readers not just to books, but to working writers. Today's special guest is author and former teacher Sharon Draper. Ms. Draper's writing career began when one of her students dared her to enter a writing contest. Not only did she enter, but she won first place. Copper Sun, Romeo and Julio, and many books and awards followed. Today, Ms. Draper returns to talk about Stella by Starlight. Welcome, Sharon.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
It's so nice to have you back on the program for a second time.
Yes.
Well, today we want to focus on Stella by Starlight. And for those who have not yet read the book, could you give us a description?
Stella by Starlight is about an 11-year-old girl that lives in a little bitty town in North Carolina. And she just wants to be like every other fifth grader. She wants to have friends, and she loves her family, but there's danger in the town. There are things that threaten it. And she finds out that even an 11-year-old girl can make a difference in the lives of other people and the lives of her community.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the setting of the story and why it's such an important driving factor in the plot?
It takes place in Bumblebee, North Carolina, which I made up. And it is based on the hometown of my father and my grandmother. It's a fictional town, but it's based on a real place. And I remember visiting there when I was a child. And I remember that sense of community and that sense of family and sitting on the front porch with my grandmother, listening to the storytellers.
Wow. So students struggle a lot with organizing their writing. Do you have any tips on how you organize your writing and how you get started?
Stella has difficulty with her writing. That's one of her problems, is she's having trouble in school because she's not doing well with the writing. She has good ideas in her head, but she has trouble getting the words out. So I tell students is to just take your time and start sometimes in the middle and say, this is what I need to say, and then back up and take your and go to that place and then say, okay, that's pretty good. And then you can end it. It isn't necessary to start at the beginning with Once Upon a Time. It's okay to start in the middle and say the spider was crawling on her leg. And then go back to how the spider got there and then go forward to how she got rid of the spider.
Wow. Well, we have some students who are Skyping with us today from West Potomac High School. So go ahead, please. What's your question and your name?
Hi, my name's Esther, and my question is, are your characters based off of people you know or that your grandmother knew?
No, they're all fictional, but they could be real. Everybody that I create could be a real person, but is not. My grandmother's name was Estelle. They did call her Stella. She did not have a brother named Jojo. She did not have writing problems. It's based on the spirit of my grandmother. My grandmother loved to write, however, and she used to write in a journal just like Stella. So it's not her, but it is based on her spirit, not her person. I don't know, does that make sense to you?
Well, thank you. We also have another question, actually. This one is via email. It's a question from Jillian and Kim. Did your grandmother know she would be the inspiration for Stella? And if your grandmother had an education, would her life have been a lot different?
Oh, absolutely her life would have been different if she had been able to go to school. She had to quit school when she was in the fifth grade because
really?
They needed her to work. And if she had had the opportunities that I've been given to go to college and excel, she might have been a writer. but she never got that chance. So I tell kids, you know, you have the opportunity, you're here, use it. It's free, it's there, take mm-hmm. care of it and go and do the best as you can. So I wish my grandmother could have done what she dreamed of doing, because she did write in a little notebook.
Well, and can you remind me, when is the time period of Stella by Starlight?
Stella takes place in 1932, and the reason I chose that is because it was an election year, and it was a pivotal time in United States history. It was the end of one era and the beginning of a new era. Roosevelt was coming in, Hoover was going out, and as an author, you choose the year that your story is going to take place in because of how you can weave that into the plot.
Wow. Well, we have another Skype question from our West Potomac students. Hi there. What's your question and your name for Sharon Draper?
Hi, my name is Madison. I was wondering why you chose to make Paulette a nice character and not racist like her father, Dr. Packard.
Hi, Paulette. Well, not everybody is racist. I've tried to be realistic. Paulette was a girl trying to figure out her life and her world, just like Stella. She had questions about her parents and questions about what the adults in her community were doing. And she was trying to make her own decisions and her own paths. So I try to be fair when I'm doing my characterization. I don't want everybody to be one way and then everybody else to be another way. People have gradations of reactions to things. So I wanted Paulette to be a person that had good thoughts and possibilities of perhaps a friendship with Stella, but at least common ground.
I liked how you left that kind of a mystery up to the reader at the end, you know, like, do they end up being friends? How does it go? That was interesting. We have another question. This one is an email question from Lake Ann Elementary School. Tony gave Stella advice about grabbing words that fall from the sky. Did someone give you that advice, and what does it mean?
That's a good question.
I know.
Wow, that shows good reading. No, nobody gave me that, but sometimes words do fall from the sky. I use a lot of nature in my writing, and I sit outside and write a lot, and I look at the sky, and I look at clouds, and clouds change from early in the morning to late at night, and what the sun does, and I like writing about the trees and the wind and those kinds of things. So I think if we focus on nature and focus on things that we can see and feel and touch and smell, our writing will be better.
Wow. Well, we have a phone call now for you to take. Caller, what is your name and what is your question for Ms. Draper? Hello, caller. Go ahead.
My name is Ariana Manguel.
Hi, what's your question for Ms. Draper?
My question is, how did you get the idea to write about Melody?
Okay, ooh. Melody is a character in Out of My Mind, mm-hmm. and Melody came from a very different place. They're both 11 years old, but they're completely different. And Melody is based on my relationship with people with disabilities throughout my whole life. And I wanted young people to understand that there are people who learn differently and look differently, but they have the same hopes and dreams as everybody else.
Wow. Well, we are going to take a short break now. And meanwhile, jot down this number, 1-800-231-6359. If you would like to join our conversation about the writing process, give us a call. But first, students from Mark Twain Middle School visualized Stella by Starlight, a book with many images but no pictures. Let's take a look.
Most books aren't illustrated, but all books leave some kind of impression on a reader's mind. At Twain Middle School, students are identifying key scenes from Sharon Draper's Stella by Starlight.
My scene is like in the beginning where Stella and JoJo are out in the woods at night and they see the clan burning the cross. And what's interesting is that the clan doesn't even notice that they're there at all.
I drew a scene from when Spoonman, a storyteller, comes to their town and he tells a story about an eagle's nest.
Picked this scene mainly because I really noticed how for granted I take my life and how hard these people have it.
This is the scene where Stella gets slapped by Dr. Ponkard, is that how you pronounce it? She was smart. That's one of the reasons I liked her. She knew what to do in each situation.
I think the candy store and the candy store owner, they were important as opposed to the doctor, because whereas the doctor kind of shows like the evil in the story, the candy store and the candy owner show like the hope and the light.
I drew where she wrote one of her poems, and if you guys don't recall, she's only a fifth grader and she's 10 years old. And to me, what she wrote for that poem actually stood out to me and impacted me on the inside, because everything she's saying is all true.
I think the book is successful because the author actually got like pretty much the point of view of JoJo and Stella throughout the book.
I'm doing Stella when she is in her classroom and her teacher gave her writing project and she didn't get that much like how to do.
She's nice, but sometimes she gets worried.
I chose to do a typewriter because I felt that Stella was growing and this was one way of showing that she had grown so much.
I chose the scene because I liked the that there's action in the picture.
I drew a tree because in the book she wrote about trees, and I drew her connected to the tree because in a way she feels connected to them, but the blue stripe separates them to show that she's still her own individual person.
For me, I drew the piece when they came into school and they were playing on the piano that was out of tune, and Claudia put the frog, she found a frog and she put it in the piano. So when Miss Grayson opened it, it just jumped out right at her.
Sun and the moon rise in the drawing on the opposite sides of the cliff represent how her people in her community are going throughout this day and night trying to think of ways to make their lives better.
You never know what students will imagine when they read a book, and that's the fun part. Just because an author creates a special world, a reader's imagination provides a whole new dimension of interpretation and understanding to any story. For Meet the Author, I'm Sophia at Twain Middle School.
And we're back with guest Sharon Draper. As Sophia reported, student readers zeroed in on very specific aspects of the story with their illustrations, and we have some of that amazing artwork here today in the studio with us. What are your thoughts on how to reach an audience of teen and tweens?
Well, first I'd like to say those young people did an amazing job
they really
on that
did.
Artwork, as well as understanding of ideas in the book. I was really impressed with that. And I forgot your question.
Well, how do you reach an audience of teens and tweens?
Well, you reach them through themselves. You reach young people by understanding what it's like to be 12, what it's like to be 14, what it's like to be 16. I still spend a lot of times with young people that age, and they have fears, and everybody has the same fears. Everybody has the same hopes. Everybody has the same worries, and nobody ever tells anybody else that this is what I'm really, really feeling on the inside. So I try to write that so they can see that.
Wow. That makes a lot of sense. Well, we have two phone calls now that we can go to. Caller, what is your name and what's your question for Ms. Draper? Hello, caller. Hi, caller. Do you have a question for Ms. Draper?
My name is Sahil.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, what's your favorite book that you made?
I don't really have a favorite book because they're all like my children, my babies, so I love them all. But right now, Stella is my favorite because she's my newest baby. But I'm getting ready to have a new baby when the new book comes out, so maybe that will be my favorite. I love them all, though.
Well, we have another phone call now to take. Caller, what's your name and what is your question for Miss Draper?
Hi, my name is Chloe, and I'm from Pathways Elementary School in North Carolina, and I just wanted to ask, how did you come up with the Sassy series?
Well, hello, North Carolina. Did you know that Stella by Starlight takes place in North Carolina?
Did you know that?
Did you know that Stella by Starlight takes place in North Carolina?
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so everything in there is about a North Carolina city or town. And Sassy is a book that I wrote a long time ago for younger readers, you know, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. But you are old enough now to read Stella.
Well, you did a lot of research for your books, is that correct?
Yes.
How do you go about with that research process? And then also, how do you know when to incorporate the research into the fictional story?
A lot of research gets cut. If I included everything that I discovered or learned about this time period, the book would be 600 pages long. So I just include enough so that the readers can understand what's going on at this time in history. So you never want to overdo the history. You just want to give a flavor. It's like putting flavor in a soup. Just enough so that your readers understand, okay, this is the way it used to be at this time period. Not so much, it's not a research book for college mm-hmm. people. It's a book for young people to read.
Well, if anyone hasn't noticed, it's an election year. And though Stella by Starlight is about family and friendship, community and school, the right to vote is a recurring thread in the book. Our student reporter from Robinson High School has this observation between the pages.
The right to vote is a small but important detail in Stella by Starlight. The time is 1932 and Franklin Delano Roosevelt is running for president. In the story, Stella's father wants to cast a vote for FDR, but first he must register his name, take a reading test, and then pay a special tax known as a poll tax. If you lived in a small North Carolina town like Stella's dad, registering to vote could be intimidating. Why? Because there are many people who wanted to limit the civil rights of African Americans. As Stella's dad registers to vote, he knows that there will be consequences, but you'll have to read the book to find out what they are. Stella by Starlight is a work of fiction inspired by family stories. In real life, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act in 1965 to prohibit discrimination during the voting process. 1 year later, the Supreme Court ruled poll taxes unconstitutional. Today, many people still think voting rights is an important issue. What qualifies a voter to cast a ballot might seem like an obstacle to others. The poll tax might have disappeared, but according to some legislators, an obstacle to vote is still an obstacle. And that's Between the Pages.
Wow, that was a great report from Robinson High School and a great message. When you write, do you write with the intent to create a message through your stories, or do you just want to write a story?
I try not to create a message because I think young people are way too intelligent for me to say, now, you should not do that, and I want you to think like this. I create a character that has a problem, that faces a problem, that makes a decision, and things happen to this character, and you can get what you want from the story. And young people that I've talked to about Stella by Starlight tell me that different reactions. Well, what I got from it was that family is the most important thing. And what I got from it is I'm still afraid of snakes, because there's a scene with a snake. So it's different reactions, and that's the mark of a good book, that has different reactions. Mm-hmm. So there is no one right answer, and no, I don't put it in on purpose.
As a reader, I appreciate that too. I want to come away with my own insights from a book. That's great. So we have another phone call now. Caller, what is your name and what is your question for Ms. Draper?
Hello?
Hi, welcome to the show. What's your question for Ms. Draper?
My question is, how was she able to come up with so many great stories?
I think being able to write is a gift. I am blessed. I am gifted. I can write. I cannot sing. I cannot dance. I cannot swim. But I can write. And so I tell young people, find your gifts and work on that. Find out what you're good at. Find out what comes easy for you and work on that. So I don't know how the stories come. I know that if I jumped into a swimming pool, I would drown. But I know that if I sit down to write, words will come out. It's a gift. It's a blessing.
Well, we have another question. This one is an email. Stella by Starlight is the title of your book and a jazz song. We like the Ella Fitzgerald version. Here's a little bit now. A robin sings. What's your favorite version, and do you remember any of the verses?
Actually, the song Stella by Starlight is an adult song. It's a love song. It has absolutely nothing to do with little girls and fires burning in the woods and snakes hiding in the bushes. It has nothing to do with any of that. I like the title. My grandmother's name was Stella. I named the character Stella. Stella by Starlight seemed to flow, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the song. I tried. It wouldn't work.
Well, let's go back to our web connection with West Potomac High School. We're talking to students in a program called Teachers for Tomorrow. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Lena, and I am in high school taking a class called Teachers for Tomorrow, and we are learning what it is like to be a teacher. We use your book to create lesson plans. My question is, how would you approach teaching this book to a group of young students since it deals with a serious subject matter of racism?
That was difficult, wasn't it? Creating those lessons and trying to do that. It's harder to be a teacher. It's easy to think that you could be a teacher because you can stand there, but doing it is difficult, isn't it? What I would do is approach the story for the age level of who was reading it. You approach the story differently with fourth graders than you would with seventh graders, because seventh graders have a little bit more maturity. You talk about fairness, you talk about injustice, you talk about when somebody cuts in front of you in the lunch line, which is an injustice that a fourth grader could understand. And you take the child's world and you expand it into the book world, and then you let the child see, what connections can I see with this little girl in my life? I have the same problems. You know, I worry about what my hair looks like. I'm nervous because I'm sitting on the front steps with Tony in the middle of the night. I'm afraid because I can't find the doctor and my mother is sick. So you approach it from the point of view of the children that you're teaching, and you take them from where they are to where they need to be.
You use the text as a vehicle almost.
Exactly.
The way to like drive the car.
Exactly.
Well, we have a couple more questions, phone questions. Caller, go ahead. What's your name and what's your question for Ms. Draper?
My name is Sydney Jennings. My question is, how long have you been writing?
I've been writing a very long time, more than 20 years. Thank you for calling.
All right, we have another caller now. What is your name and what is your question for Ms. Draper? Hi, caller, go ahead. What's your name and your question for Ms. Draper? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, caller, one more time.
My name's Marisella.
And what's your question for Ms. Draper?
My name's Marisella. And what's your question for Ms. Draper?
And
what's
Do you aim for a set amount of words/pages per day?
Oh, do you have a set amount of words that you want to write per day, or a number of pages that you say you tell yourself you have to write per day?
No, I write. I get up early in the morning, 4 a.m. And I will write all day long. By 6 o'clock, my brain is kind of mush, and I stop and I'll get up again, but I get up very, very early. Sometimes I'll get a couple of chapters done, sometimes I'll get 3 or 4 words done. It just depends on how my day is going. I don't set a certain number of words. I don't count like that. I'm not good at math. I just wait for the ideas to come.
Well, now we're going to go back to our West Potomac students, our teachers for tomorrow. They have a few more questions for you. So what's your question?
Hi, my name's Emma, and I'm also part of the Teachers for Tomorrow group. And I was wondering if you still teach, and if so, what age group?
No, I don't teach anymore in a formal classroom. I visit classrooms all the time, so I guess technically I'm teaching. I just don't have to give homework or lesson plans, which is really kind of nice. No, I'm not officially teaching anymore. And I wish you young people who are going to be teachers, I wish you all the best. We really, really need you. We need young, dedicated professionals like yourself. So good luck.
Well, we have another phone call. So caller, go ahead. What is your name and what's your question for Ms. Draper?
Another phone call.
Hi, caller. What's your name?
Brooke.
And what is your question?
What is your favorite author?
I know many, many authors. And when I was in elementary school, I read every single book in our elementary school library.
Really?
All of them. I went from the A's all the way to the Z's.
Wow.
And so I can't tell you which one is my favorite because I've read all of them. There were some that were very, very good, and there were some that were not good at all, but that's how you know what a good book is. Mm-hmm. You've read enough to where you can make an evaluation. So I don't really have a favorite.
Well, we're gonna go back to Skype with our West Potomac students. And they have some more questions for you. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Hello, my name is Victoria. And my question is, as a teacher, what do you believe is the best way to get kids interested in reading?
Hi, Victoria. The best way to get young people interested in reading is to read to them. And I'm talking about second graders and fifth graders and 12th graders. Everybody likes to hear a story read to them. When I go to conferences, I read to teachers and they love it. So by reading to them and letting them hear your voice and hear your words, the way you express it, that can encourage them to read. Just snippets, read the good part out of a book and then put it down. Read the good part of another book another day and then put it down. That is how you get a child to read.
Well, do you have any other advice for our young writers out there? Any last minute tips?
If you want to be a writer, you have to write. If it is within you to write, you will be called and the words will come and you have to write them down. Get yourself a little notebook, get yourself a little flash drive, or I still write on notebooks. But just write it down. And don't worry about writing books. Don't worry about writing stories. Don't worry about writing novels. Write good descriptions. Write good paragraphs. What did the sky look like on that day? What did her hair look like when it was wet? What did he smell like when he came off of the basketball court? Just do descriptions. If you focus on that, your writing will improve. If you're going to be a writer, you have to write.
Well, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure talking with you today.
Well, this has been delightful. I wish we had 2 more hours.
I know, I do too. Well, thank you again for joining us. For more information about Sharon Draper, visit her website at sharondraper.com. For more information about Meet the Author, check out the Fairfax Network. Until next time, I'm Emily Godfrey. Keep reading, keep writing, and keep dreaming.